Ngamihi Nui, and a very good morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM and Keep Auckland Beautiful. I've got an encore presentation of an interview with Roy Clements coming up on the anniversary of the organization we're here to talk about today. So good morning, Roy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Rick.
So tell me, something really exciting has been happening out in Purewa, out on the Isthmus. What's going on?
Well, where do we start? Purewa is a very special valley, which most people don't know exists. If they're driving east, they go up Keeper Road and see a horse paddock, but don't see beyond it.
That's right.
Yeah. If they go across from St. Thomas's Church to St. John's College at the top of the valley, they have their eyes out for the traffic and they don't look to the right or
at the
left.
At the big T intersection,
yeah,
right.
That's right, yes.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. So it's off and down the hill there behind the church or behind the pony club.
Behind the pony club, yes, that's right. And if you're going along Meadowbank Road, you just see houses. You don't have any awareness of this gorgeous valley in between. And so there it is. And
so what's in the valley?
Yes, well, it's a couple of kilometres long. It has several pockets of bush, and these are very special. The most famous one, of course, is the Keeper Reserve, which is the best bit of bush on the Auckland Isthmus, with some lovely old trees.
I interviewed Kevin McCready, who's a local, who volunteers to check the trap lines.
Yes, yes.
For pest control in the Keeper Bush. So I've been in the Keeper Bush. That's part of the valley.
That's part of the valley. If you move a bit further up, you come to the lands at the back of Selwyn College. There's a valley behind the ASB Stadium.
That's right.
And then at the back of the school fields, the land slopes rather dramatically to the valley floor. And those are two areas that the groups I've been involved with have been working on for 15 years. I'll tell you a bit more about that later.
Okay.
And then there's the valley floor, which is, it's got some lovely stuff in it and a lot of rubbish. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, and near the top of the valley is St. John's Bush. Well, all of these were part of the old St. John's College land from the 1840s on till the 1950s when a lot of it was subdivided and becoming residential. So those are the three bush patches. On the other side, you've got Meadowbank and St. John's residential area, and that's becoming of great interest to us because it's been blocked off from the valley by Gowing Drive houses and the railway line. And
that's right.
It's rather illegal to walk across the railway line, though people do.
People do, yes.
Indeed, yes. But with a cycleway walkway plan to come up the valley, and the local board purchasing a house, which they will remove and give access to the cycleway and, we hope, to the valley itself, things are changing a lot. So that's suddenly all that side of the railway line is part of our territory, and the workplaces we've been working on will become their neighbourhood park, really.
And that's brilliant.
It is wonderful, yes. Now you go down a bit further on their side and you come to Purewa Cemetery.
That's right.
Which is also a nice green patch.
Yes, it is.
Beloved of birds as well as the departed.
That's right.
And then on the other bank, beyond Keeper Reserve, you come to land which is now administered and I think owned by Ngāti Whātua. And as you know, they have wonderful revegetation programs that are going on in East Auckland.
Yes, they do.
And yes, at Bastion Point, they've planted hundreds of thousands of trees, I think, and that's good. And now they're starting on the valley itself.
I did not know that. I knew about all the planting on the, the Rangatira Whenua, the Bastion Point area that they're revegetating. I did not know they'd gone the other side of.
Yes, they've just started.
Brilliant.
And of course, by the time you get to them, we're getting to the Orake Basin.
That's right.
Which is a treasure. And beyond that, of course, Hobson Bay. Why is Purewa so special? Do you want me to talk about that?
Absolutely, because it is a gem right in the middle of Auckland, where, as you say, people don't even realize it's there.
That's right. Well, one day we hope there'll be a railway station at the back of Solon, and people will get out and go for wonderful walks. About 30 years ago, there was a walkway plan drawn up, and it was going to start at Hobson Bay, go through the Ōraki Basin, up Purewa Valley, down to Point England, and Tahuna Turia, the wonderful reserve there.
Right.
That was being formed at that time. And then through various little reserves till you got, and big ones, till you got to St. Helier's, and then back along the waterfront. That would have been a world-class walkway if it had ever happened.
It certainly would have. And I interviewed Chris Barfoot just a few weeks ago about Tahuna Turia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a miracle, because as you know, it was a dump.
Yes.
And the areas we've been working on behind Solon have been used by the public as a dump, too. In fact, this work day in a couple of weeks' time that the new group are going to work on is removing a lot of litter from that area too, which is great. Bottles, cans, refrigerators. There's a mini car down there too. But
good Lord. So proper illegal dumping, not just litter in the classic sense.
No, it's really illegal. And funny thing, even when the school put up a fence, people still dumped over the fence. You know?
Right.
Now, of course, the valley has quite a history. Hobson Bay, those of us who've been around a long time know that back in the 50s and 60s, progressive thinking wanted to reclaim Hobson Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how they use the word reclaim when they mean obliterate, isn't it?
Yes.
That was going to be where the university was placed. And then, of course, in the 70s and 80s, 90s, and into about 10 years ago, there were plans for putting up a motorway up the Purewa Valley and across the bays.
That's correct, yes, and hugely resisted by the local residents.
Indeed, yes. It was a motorway by stealth and was called a corridor, which is quaint. Another bit of linguistic trickery. However, as you say, the residents resisted it, which is great, because when you look at... And they won, although it's still on the books and the...
It's still a designation, designated corridor.
Still has that designation. So it worries us a little, because when you look at all the wonderful streams that once flowed into the Waitemata, go to Grafton Gully. It was a lovely stream down there once that came out at Fishel Bay at the end, where canoes pulled up with supplies for the baby city.
Go to Queen Street.
Queen Street, yes, that was an open sewer for about 20 years, and then it became a closed sewer. That was progress.
And then it became Britomart.
Yes, that's right, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, and more reclaiming going on. And I think Motions Creek is now a motorway going out west.
Yes.
The Meola Creek, well, it's a drain above ground for a while, and then it goes underground and is a community centre and a playground and considerable parking area above it, and then it comes out in the golf course. And although I believe the Eden Albert,
the local board there,
yes, yeah. I think they're going to try and daylight areas of that stream there.
That would be brilliant.
Yes, and some of us have for 35 years been working on the upper part of that behind Mount Albert Grammar. That's where the prototype for what we're doing at Solwood now.
Okay.
And that one is working very well. I can talk later if you want about that. And then the next one, of course, across was the Oakley Creek, which was threatened with destruction, but the people protested and they got a tunnel. And so you can now still walk up there and see the waterfall and do the good things. So the scene is fairly grim in Auckland's history, but there are some bright patches in it.
Right, so tell me, what's the bright patch going on now? You had a meeting on last Sunday, was it?
Yes.
And it was bringing various community groups together?
Yes, well, actually we came as individuals, but individuals from various groups.
Right.
And
so a number of people came to the meeting?
Yes, so about 25 people there, including those of us who have been involved for years, and I can tell you a bit about them. It had the local MP It had the Desley Simpson, the chairperson of the local board.
Of the local board, Ōraki local board, sure.
And Mark Thomas, who's a valiant worker for the environment, so that's great. And they were interested, informative, and highly sympathetic, I think. I'm sure. So at the moment, there are many of us who just like working on a project and are not too interested in structures and meetings and all that sort of thing.
All the politics behind it all.
Yes.
Right.
But you have to have those. And
yes,
so
you do.
We've got a very good lady called Carmel Claridge who is sorting out constitutional things and purposes of this organization. We'll base it pretty much on the group called STEPS, which is the St. Luke's Environmental Protection Society, which looks after the upper part of the Neola Creek, which I told you about.
Ah, right. So that's the model?
That's the model, yes. They do wonderful work days on that and have informative meetings about the ecology of the place. But they also keep an eye on all that amazing basin, because you have a basin which, if you imagine, one edge is Mount Eden Road, then mm-hmm. Mount Albert Road, and then there's a great trough in there, and it all used to feed into one drain, really, which is the Meola Creek.
Well, it's its own catchment, and so yes. is Purewa.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. It is an isolated catchment that's actually still in pretty good nick in terms of it hasn't been completely buried or built over or bulldozed.
No. When we started on the Meola Creek 35 years ago, engineering expertise said, put it in a drain, put it in a pipe.
But that was the way it was done back then.
That's right.
Put everything in a pipe.
Yes.
And you don't ask questions, you just build more pipe.
More pipe. And yes. Over the top, the recommendation was to turn it into an industrial zone. So we're going to have a lot of factories on a sewage-soaked floodplain, really, which I know we're not political, but those days the government was selling off what it regarded as surplus land.
Right.
And a school that had a small role, and Mount Albert was not a very big role at that time. They were told they had to give up that area and some of the sports fields. Fortunately, it didn't happen.
Right, because we're a slightly larger city now.
Yeah, it's a larger city, and the role is about three or four times as big there now. Mm. But sometimes bureaucrats don't think of next year, they think of now. And
That's right.
Yeah, so...
You have a working name for the group? I think you mentioned before we came on air something like Friends of Purewa or Purewa Friends or...
Yes, something like that.
So it doesn't have a name yet, but there's a new group coming together, and it's going to be an umbrella group?
Yes.
Because what other established groups are already working in the valley?
Right, well, there's St. John's, and they've done wonderful work and been working there for a long time, and there's a long history before it became Auckland Council property. About 10 years ago, the Auckland Council added a section to that, which was great. And it's in pretty good order, that area now. And so the fundamental work is done.
Good.
Right. Now, Caper Reserve also has had many years of hard work by not only the people who catching the rodents, but also...
Well, there's all sorts of volunteers putting the place in order.
Yes, exactly. And that's a never-ending job because, as everybody says, Auckland is the weed capital of the world. And
it certainly seems that way. I've learned that since I've started this program.
Yes. Then about 15 years ago, we started work on the land at the back of Selwyn College, which wasn't needed and had been suffering from many years of neglect. To get through it, you needed a chainsaw and a machete even to go to see what was there.
Right, so weed choked as well as illegal dumping?
Yes.
Oh, right.
The weeds were appalling. Great vines, you know.
Madeira
vine and other nasties.
And was that just locals who lived there, or did you form a group?
Most of us weren't locals. We came some distance. I lived in the Waitakere's at the time. And so it was a long journey. But the reason I started was I had been asked by the principal of Selwyn to take a class for a few women from Kosovo. This is a little excursion. Can I talk about the film?
Sure. Okay. So was this during the Balkan crisis?
Yes. And
okay.
And a lot of Kosovar families were resettled in that area, and the young came to Selwyn College, and they greatly impressed Carol White, who is a visionary lady who saw their need. I mean, they were fresh from a war zone. It's rather like the situation that's going on at the moment in the Middle East, I guess.
Sure.
And New Zealand, I think wonderfully, took in a few hundred of these people at that point. Carol decided that we needed to do something for the mothers and sisters, because refugee families, the women often stay in the house all their life and never get into the wider society.
So that's right.
We started a wonderful, at least I think it's wonderful now, course. It was just for 9 Kosovar women to start with in a church hall. And the next week there were 30. And
good Lord.
It grew. And then, of course, the Tampa incident a couple of years later brought the Afghanis there, and family reunification, and Thailand was emptying out Burmese. And so a lot of those were settled in Glen Innes. And so they all became part of this. And, well, to make a long story short, it's no longer in my hands, but there's wonderful people running it now under the great Margaret Chittenden. And they have about 160 adults coming for language and resettlement training and all that. And
that's brilliant.
80 preschoolers. The refugees took up this plan that we were working on in the valley, clearing it and replanting it. And they were great. They gave their services. And for me, it was very important to have people in the new country planting a tree in their new country. You know, the symbolism of that is...
Absolutely.
And so they contributed wonderfully. And then we had a couple of people. These are wonderful people too, Martin Heffer and Pat Northey, who were at the gym. And the gym looked over all this rubbish in the valley.
Right.
And then Martin said one day, well, who can we find to do something about that? And it's a dangerous sentence, and he ended up doing something about it.
Right.
And he and Pat have been there working hard for 9 years. And other people have come. We had a couple of sturdy groundsmen who gave their own time to working there. They're not school time. Forest and Bird, a team, come every Wednesday morning now and work for a few hours.
Is that something they're still doing now? Is that a volunteer opportunity that's happening right now?
Yes. So if anybody wants to join either of these teams, it's I think it's 9 o'clock on Sunday morning for the Pureira Restoration Group. That's Martin and Pat and their team.
Okay.
Or if they want to come on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock.
That's the Forest and Bird crowd.
Yes, and if they like to come a bit before 10, they can join up with... I've still got 2 or 3 Burmese folk who are coming regularly there too. So we could... whatever suits people. But generally people meet at the back of the stadium in the car park.
Mm-hmm.
So... the safest time would be to be there at 10, I think.
Yeah. Right, and just dress for the conditions, gumboots and clothes to do a bit of weeding and or planting?
Yes. Now, some places are slippery. Some places we've got form tracks, but we've been asked not to form any more while the school decides on the future of the...
of the property.
Of the property, yes.
Okay.
So, which is a bit of a pity because... can be a bit slippery. I'm sorry, I can't give you a time for the meeting of the newly the society that's in the process of being formed, but it'll be in a couple of weeks, and there'll be notice of it in Neighbourly and things like that. Yes.
Okay. So listeners should keep an ear out, ear to the ground, because it'll be something.
Yes.
There'll be an announcement.
There'll be an announcement, and it'll be in the Eastern Bays Courier. We've talked a bit about the value of the stream.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more value in that valley too. Just thinking, you know, one day we might catch up with where we were 100 years ago and have wonderful trains running to Rotorua. Can you imagine it? We're taking tourists.
Mm.
Yeah.
I can imagine it, actually.
Yes.
And a great portion of the North Island trunk line is electrified.
Yes.
There's just bits and pieces. There's holes in it. And if we just finished that,
yes,
we could have high-speed electric to a lot of
tourist
destinations.
Yes. So I can imagine people pulling out of Auckland Station, crossing the two little bays, the stretches of water, and then, hello, what's that? Oh, that's bush. Oh.
Oh, I thought I was in the city.
Yes.
Here.
Now, can we see some more of it? Yes, but you'll have to wait for about 4 hours till we pass through the Manukau Forest. And so that is another reason why that's a very special area.
Yeah. And as you said, you were kind of hoping to get us another train station between Meadowbank and Panmure. Have I got that right?
That's right, yes.
And to let people out into the bush.
Yes, and into St. John's suburb.
Well, of course.
Yes, and into the school and into the stadium and St. Thomas's school and so forth.
That would breathe some new life into the ASB stadium thing there.
I think so.
Because it's a great facility, but yes, where it is, I think, hamstrings it.
Does a bit, yes.
More often than not.
Yes, that's a problem.
I've done a few shows there.
Have you?
Well, New Zealand Opera used to do rehearsals in there, believe it or not. This is going back a few years.
I didn't know that. And, were you involved in New Zealand Opera?
Yes, but that's another whole conversation.
Oh, I'd like that one.
But the point being is that the train, if it stopped there, that would almost accomplish everything they wanted to accomplish with the Eastern Corridor Highway anyway.
Yes.
In terms of making that suburb easily accessible to downtown.
Yes. Yes, well, while there were still diesel trains, we walked a few local politicians around then. They said, oh, you can't have stations more than such and such a frequency. And, of course, it's uphill there and you can't.
Right. Can't do this, can't do that.
But the electric trains, you can.
Yes.
You can start and you can stop quickly.
Yep.
Yes, so that's that. Actually, there used to be another station in that area in the days when people went by train to funerals. And there was a Pereira.
That never occurred to me, but that makes perfect sense.
Yes, well, they don't do that now. There's another reason for preserving Pereira too. I was looking at a photograph the day or two ago, taken in the 20s before the railway line went through. And most of those hills are bare at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So the precious forest that is now, some of it is now classified as area of ecological significance, a lot of that is actually regenerated since the 20s.
Okay.
Because it was all St. John's College Farm.
Right. So we're just now approaching its first 100 years of regeneration.
Really, yes. Mm. And in fact, a lot of it only... I think the college's properties were broken up in the 1950s. It's a very historic area because the first St. John's settlements were down on the stream itself rather than up on that wonderful hillside there.
Well, that's where the water was.
That's right. That's how you got there.
That's A, how you got there, but B, it's a natural resource. You need it.
Yes.
You don't want to carry it up the hill.
No, you don't. It was also the way you got into Eastern Auckland that day because, as you know, East Auckland's sticky clay soils were not great for road making in the early days. That was the access, and I think St. John's was a multifunction place. It had it did agricultural training, it did building skills and all that sort of thing. It was a sort of early polytech in a way.
Right.
And I think a lot of the very famous and very beautiful little Selwyn churches were prefabricated there and shipped out to where they were.
Shipped out on the back of the wagon or the train and to where they were.
There was no train. It was just the stream. And it wasn't clogged up with mangroves and mud in those days. So.
Well, it hadn't silted in yet.
That's right.
The soil hadn't run down the hill.
Yes.
Okay.
I wandered around that area with the notable historian, Alan Davidson, and we tried to find where this original settlement could be, but we couldn't. But someday some researcher will do that. Right. And so there's history in that valley as well as bush, stream, bird corridor, people corridor, all those things.
Sure. Now, they've just completed that beautiful walkway around Ōraki Basin.
Isn't it great, yes.
It is wonderful.
Yes.
Are there plans or a notion to link that up with Pureiwa? Just to add?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's due to start this year, we're told.
Okay. So this is what you were alluding to at the beginning of the interview, is that actually people are on board to kind of link these things together.
Yes, so that is a real landmark as far as we're concerned, because we've moved some way from 15 years ago when, well, it was really part of the, amongst other things, part of the campaign to save Puree by cutting tracks and revegetating, just making it accessible for people so that they would get down there, find out what it is and love it.
And enjoy it. Yes.
And then defend it.
It is exactly, you've echoed the words that Chris Barfoot said to me just a few weeks ago on this program, you know, with the Tohono O'odham. That's what they had to do. We had to cut paths, get people out there, and then they went, oh my goodness, we've got to protect this.
We have, yes.
And it worked for them.
Yes.
Yeah, no, quite successfully. Right, so if people want to get involved, Forest and Bird and the Purewa Restoration Society are currently active.
Yes.
And then there's this new group, umbrella group forming.
Yes.
Which is going to take, a more helicopter view, a big picture view of everything that's going on.
In all the groups, yes.
Yes, in all those groups.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, people can, if they want to, get in touch with me, because I've probably got an overview of the...
We'll talk, and I'll put your email address on a blog post. How's that?
That'll be great.
Rather than blatting everything out over the air, airwaves.
I'd prefer that.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so have a look at the beatidykiwi.co.nz website.
Yes.
After the program, because I will blog this. I'll blog it this afternoon or tomorrow morning.
That'd be great, Rick. Thank you.
Yeah. And in the meantime. Actually, I think not all of Ngāti Whātua's planting days are done for the winter, aren't they?
They probably are, yes.
I think we just missed the last one, so yes. I can't recommend that as an upcoming event.
No.
But Conservation Volunteers has things happening in Kepa Bush and in that area, as well as your good selves.
Well, that's another thing. If people wanted to get in touch with Conservation Volunteers, they could join one of the teams that comes out. They come to us, too.
Mm-hmm.
And... once a month, and sometimes there's an extra time. Perhaps that could go on the blog too, the CV address. It's
absolutely, happy to do that.
Should I give a little plug for CV, because they're an amazing group. Have we got time?
We do, actually, just a couple of minutes, so you might as well give them a plug. Absolutely.
Well, this is an amazing group. It's managed, I think, by Claire Hobie, who's has a office in Mount Eden. These are young people mainly, and mainly from overseas, who come to New Zealand and give their services to our environmental projects, all sorts, all over the country, for a few weeks, or sometimes a bit longer. They're from Belgium, they're from Holland, they're from Germany. Sometimes you get some from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes South America, too. Mainly it's that little cluster of, what I found, that cluster of Western European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And these are adventurous, great kids. And
with a can-do attitude and ready to pitch in.
Yes, and they do that. They come for about 6 hours on a day. And they work very hard. So all sorts of things like climbing asparagus and all the rest they get rid of.
Amen.
Yes, they're boring, horrible jobs, these wonderful young people.
So we import them from across the earth to help us tackle these problems.
Yes. Sometimes it's a bit hard to get local Kiwi kids to come in, or Kiwi mums and dads even, but we're hoping that'll change on that side.
Well, here's hoping.
Mm.
Well, I'm afraid we're running out of time.
Oh, gosh.
I know. It goes fast, doesn't it?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in today, and... good luck with the new project and the new umbrella group, because that sounds like, just yet another big step forward for Purewa.
Yes, thank you very much, Rick, and I'm sure it's going to boom, and we're very grateful for your encouragement, so thank you.
Kia ora.
for listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org.